A show that I enjoy watching on television is called Kitchen Nightmares. It stars world-famous chef Gordon Ramsay, a brash, cocky British chef who enjoys belittling people and using colorful language. Now, he is entertaining, I must admit, but I don't watch the show for him. I watch the show because of the inspirational stories of people in trouble that need help. The show is about restaurants that are failing. They are losing money, and they are on the brink of shutting down, thus the name Kitchen Nightmares. And Ramsay comes in as the restaurant expert and attempts to change the restaurant and save the business. And there's a formula to this show. If you watch just two episodes, you'll know the blueprint for every episode. It's the same situation over and over and over again. A struggling restaurant is losing money. It's in danger of shutting down. Gordon Ramsay comes in as the savior of the day, showing up with the good news or the gospel of how to turn the restaurant into a success. Yet at first, the owners and the chef do not want to listen to him. They are in denial. It's not our fault, they say. The customers don't like the food because they have bad taste. The owner is defensive. The staff blame the owner. The owner blames the chef. The chef blames the staff. They can't see the truth about themselves and their restaurant. It's not my fault we are failing, they say to Ramsay and the cameras. And so the first half of every show is always dedicated to Gordon Ramsay's attempt to make them see the truth about their situation, to see that they really are bad restaurant owners. And if they don't make serious changes, they will lose their business. And he does this by humiliating them, by making them angry, by scaring them. He'll go in and find dead mice in the kitchen, or cockroaches, or point out rotting food in the refrigerators. He'll go in and show them that the ovens have not been cleaned in months, and he'll make them scour the entire kitchen. He'll go and eat dinner at the restaurant and taste the food, and then make fun of the food and tell them how horrible it is, all in an attempt to show the restaurant owner and chef the truth about their business. And every time, in every show, in every episode, usually about halfway through, there comes a time when the owner must either see the truth about themselves and their restaurant, or if they don't, see the truth about themselves and the restaurant. If they see the truth, then they're ready to change. And the story becomes a story of redemption and success. And Ramsay redesigns their menu, and he helps paint their walls, and he teaches them how to run a successful business. And there's a good story. There's a good ending to their story. But they can go another way. Sometimes the owners and the chef never see the truth about themselves. They're not able to admit that what they are doing is not working. And so they don't follow the advice of Gordon Ramsay. And they continue to do what they've always done, and it ends in disaster. In this show, the turning point for the restaurant owner is telling the truth about themselves and their restaurant. Will they admit that they are doing it wrong and change their ways? Will they tell the truth about themselves and listen to Mr. Ramsay? Whether they tell the truth to themselves and Ramsay determines the end of their story. Christians have a word for telling the truth about oneself: repentance. To repent means to tell God the truth about our situation. And whether or not we tell the truth about ourselves determines the end of our story. The question for all of us is, will we tell the truth about ourselves to God and let Him change us and direct us? Or will we proudly and stubbornly hold fast to a narrative about our lives that is false? The story from the Gospel of Luke this morning is a story told by Jesus about two sons. One son, the prodigal, told the truth about himself and repented. According to Eugene Peterson, repentance is deciding that you have been wrong in supposing that you could manage your own life and be your own God. It is deciding that you were wrong in thinking that you had or could get the strength education and training to make it on your own. It is deciding that you have been told a pack of lies about yourself and your neighbors and your world. And it is deciding that God in Jesus Christ is telling you the truth. This young man in the parable decided that he was wrong. He saw the truth of his situation, and because he told the truth about himself, he experienced a happy ending. He was reunited with his father, who threw a giant party to celebrate the return of his son. And his father welcomed him, even though he had sinned horribly and egregiously against his father and his family. First of all, he had asked for his inheritance before his father had died. Nothing could be more disrespectful in a Middle Eastern culture. An inheritance is something that comes to a son after the father's death. So asking for it early is basically asking for the father to die. It's wishing that the father was already dead. And he takes that inheritance and he turns his back on the family. He turns his back on the father. As a son, it was his duty to work the farm and support the family. But instead, he leaves. And what does he do with his money? We're told he squandered it in loose living. So that when a famine hits the land, he is forced to do the work that no good Jew would ever do, tend the pigs. But sitting in those fields, tending the pigs, he is able to see the truth about his situation, and he repents. He realizes he cannot manage his own life, and he decides to go to his father and say, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." And he goes back to his father's house. And the father sees him. We're told he sees him coming from a long way off. I imagine the father was looking for him. And the father sees him and he runs to him, which is something no Middle Eastern patriarch would ever do. How undignified to gather up your tunic around your legs like a child and to run down those dusty roads. His father was so pleased to see him that he ran to him and he forgave him and he embraced him and he brought him back into the family and threw a party in order to celebrate. On the screen today, we have a painting by Rembrandt called The Return of the Prodigal Son. The prodigal is on his knees being embraced by the father. This young man was down in the biggest, darkest pit. He had despised his family and alienated himself from them. He had no money, no friends, no food. He lived with pigs, and he was so hungry that he dreamed of eating the pig food. To the Jews of this time, he represented the lowest of the low. And to the surprise of the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders of the time, Jesus said that the Father, who in this parable is God, eagerly welcomed this son back into the family when he repented and he went home. The young man went down into a pit of his own making, but he learned, in the words of the famous Holocaust survivor, Corrie ten Boom, "No pit is so deep that he is not deeper still. No pit is so deep that he is not deeper still." Now, Corrie attributed this saying to her older sister, Betsy. Betsy was someone who knew about pits. Suffering her entire life from severe anemia, she knew the pit of weakness and illness. And because her Dutch family hid Jews in their home in order to protect them from the Nazis during World War II, she came to know the pit of a German concentration camp. Yet even there, she would tell her sister, "No pit is so deep that he is not deeper still." That is what the young prodigal son learned when he returned home to the father. There was nothing he could do, no place he could go, nothing he could say, no pit so deep that it would be able to separate him from the love of the father. There is another son in this story, an older son. He did not experience his father's banquet that day. His story did not have a happy ending. At the end of the story, he remained outside, refusing even to come into the party, even though his father begged him to join them. He remained outside because he refused to see the truth about his situation. He failed to repent. The older son failed to tell the truth about himself. He chose to remain bitter and superior. He stayed outside, failing to see the darkness in his own heart. He chose to remain outside and not experience the love of the Father. In Rembrandt's picture, we have a man standing off to the right. I believe that's Rembrandt's depiction of the older son. We're not sure. He didn't label the people in this painting. But I can see this as the older son. He's looking on with interest, but there's a bit of disdain in the eyes. There's a bit of disgust as he looks on at his father embracing his brother. This older son, this older brother, it was easy for him to see the truth about his younger brother. After all, lust and debauchery are easy to diagnose. His own sins, though, were much more difficult to discern. An outwardly obedient son, he stayed home and he worked hard for his father. He was dutiful, obedient, respectful, and respected. People honored him in the marketplace and spoke kindly of him in the synagogue. But when his brother came home, his heart was shown to harbor selfishness, bitterness, anger, condemnation, and judgment, and maybe even a little envy. After all, he never got to go run away and have fun and spend his father's money. He never got to go home, run away from home and sow his wild oats. His heart was dark. But it was difficult for him to see because he'd spent so many years believing that he was the good child. So many years believing that it became difficult to see the truth of his heart. And this inability to see the truth of his need for the Father's love and grace and compassion, his need for forgiveness and change, it is this that causes him to stay outside. But the Father wants him at the party. He wants to be with him, and so he goes outside to him. He goes to where the son is standing outside, and he entreats him, our text says. He begs him to come inside. The great spiritual writer and priest Henry Nouwen once wrote these words. He said, "My spiritual journey will change when I no longer think of God as hiding out and making it difficult as possible for me to come to him, but instead as the one who is looking for me while I am doing the hiding. My spiritual journey will change when I no longer think of God as hiding out and making it difficult as possible for me to find him, but instead as the one who is looking for me while I am doing the hiding." The Father goes looking for his sons, for both of them. He set outside, walking the fields, waiting for the return of his prodigal son. And when he saw him, he ran to him. And during the banquet, he leaves the festivities. He leaves the party and his younger son, and he comes outside to find the older son, and he entreats him, he begs him to come inside. It is not God that hides from us, but we who hide from God. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, God comes looking for us to talk to us, and he asks, "Where are you?" And we hide. Maybe we're ashamed, we're embarrassed, and we run away and hide. Or maybe, like this older son in the story, we're indignant. We're angry. We're angry with God, and we refuse to come inside to the banquet. We thought we were the only ones good enough to be loved by God. We're resentful. "You love this riffraff? This no good prodigal son who abandoned us?" And we tragically fail to see the truth about ourselves, that we are just as much in need of repentance as him. The Father comes to each of his sons. He invites them both inside to the party, the banquet, which represents the heavenly banquet of eternal fellowship with God the Father. The younger son enters in. The older son remains outside. What was the difference between them? The younger son told the truth about himself. He repented and found freedom and love. The older son did not. This is the season of Lent. Lent is a time for telling the truth about ourselves and our sin. It is a season for looking inside our hearts to see what is really there. Now, we don't do this in order to wallow in our sin. We don't do this to feel guilty and ashamed and less than. No. We talk about our sin. We examine our hearts. We tell the truth about our condition because it is the truth, and it is only the truth about ourselves that will set us free. In the Gordon Ramsay show, Kitchen Nightmares, the restaurateur is faced with a decision that will determine the end of the show and will determine the future of their business. Will they see the truth about their restaurant and repent and change and find success? Or will they fail to see the truth? Will they fail to repent and change and so end in failure and bankruptcy? In our stories, we too, like the restaurateur, like these prodigal sons, the younger one and the older one, we too are forced to make a decision. Will we tell the truth about ourselves? Will we repent? The Father entreats.